Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 24. We're going to continue our look at the story of Cain and Abel. Now, I hope that you have found that PDF and have the panels of the Bible Stories comic book in front of you, and have a look. On two pages, in a matter of about 12 panels, I think it is, the artist and adapter have managed to convey the story, mostly pictorially, of Cain and Abel. Now, of course, you don't have a slide projector or some kind of connection to the internet by which you can do this, but I'm just pointing this out to show you that, number one, as Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, no less, Rudolf Steiner's great teacher in a certain respect, recognized in the early 19th century, when the comic strip idea first began to bubble up, he said there's really something to this. This can be a very important artistic form. And I would say that if you have to err on one side or the other, I would not perhaps go into that Sunday school method of ceaseless embroidery and taking the word sin, which at least in the King James translation only appears once in the Cain and Abel story, and, you know, bringing it again and again. But look at this. Look at the austerity and the simplicity by which it's presented. The only embroidery here, interesting, of course, for our time, are the four little panels. The most intensified use of the panels, where there are four rather than three in one section, with the crack, crack, crack going on to make sure we know that Cain is hitting Abel over the head and slaying him. Other than that, everything speaks for itself, and we have to have the confidence that as we tell these stories, for sure, we sometimes will have to go behind the scenes and explain something or other to the children. It's good, as Steiner indicates, in other contexts. There's nothing wrong, in fact, sometimes it's necessary, to ahead of time explain one or another thing to the children. And, of course, here, in this story, as you'll see when I try to give you a rendition of how I told it to my classes, that, yes, I would do a little bit of pre-story explanation, because today's child in particular lives with little or no sense of the past. This is why Waldorf schools are fulfilling such an important task on a worldwide, you know, humane basis, that we are explaining to children how different life was a long time ago. And even not that long ago, today's child is basically just shown the present day world. And in our intellectual approach to things, we use the present day world as the standard by which we understand everything else. We in Waldorf are trying to bring the children back into that world. And the world of the Hebrew Scriptures is one of the utmost simplicity. Every word spoken, every word appearing later in print, though that came much, much later in the stories of the Hebrew Scriptures, every one of those words spoke volumes and volumes. It was taken in by the ancient Hebrew, and it resonated very, very far. All right, so here is, as I say, my suggestion, a model in this comic strip of simplicity of presentation And that last picture of Cain with his bag on his back walking into the wilderness, very, very powerfully done in a comic book of all places. Now I want to share with you how I would bring this to a third grade. It's a suggestion. It's not a model. It's not, you know, the only way to do it. But it gives you another perspective besides somewhere between the world of the Sunday school teacher and the comic book artist. Before we go into the story of Cain and Abel, of course, we review what we learned about the fall of Adam and Eve and the expulsion from paradise. And then, by way of preface to the story of Cain and Abel, I would speak a few words like this. Now, boys and girls, before we go on and learn what came of Adam and Eve and what they had done, we have to think about this, that this all happened a long, long time ago. It was a time when, of course, man and woman and the world were still newly created. They were still fresh and bright, and everything was very, very close to God, or Yahweh, as he came to be called. And that meant that there were no houses, there were no kitchens, there were no cars, there were no roads for the cars to drive on. People did not wear the kind of clothing we wore today. As we learn, God had to make skins for Adam and Eve to wear. And the houses in which they lived were like lean-tos of today. Everything was very, very simple and very new. But because Adam and Eve were so close to God, because he was their first human creations, they were very smart and they were very resourceful. And every day they figured out something new about how it would be possible for they themselves, out of their own resources, out of what they could figure out, to live on the earth. But everything that I tell you was really happening for the very first time, including this story. Adam and Eve had the first children on the earth, and they were two boys. The older one was named Cain. The younger one was named Abel. So they were the first children. They were the first brothers ever to live on the face of the earth. I'm sorry, girls, no sisters yet, but don't worry. They, of course, are going to come soon, or you wouldn't be around, would you? So Cain and Abel grew up, and they learned from Adam and Eve about God, about all that had happened, and Adam and Eve taught them to make altars so that at certain times of the year, they could offer their thanks to God for giving them this beautiful world and for putting them in the midst of it. Now, Cain decided that he would become a tiller of the ground. He would work as a farmer and work on the earth. And he learned then how to plant seeds and how to draw wonderful foods forth from those seeds. His brother Abel became a keeper of sheep. So he looked after the animals and made sure that there was wool for their clothing and made sure that there could be meat for them to eat as well. And so these brothers brought their parents, Adam and Eve, all that they needed for food while Adam and Eve looked after them and raised them up in the right way. And then one day it came time to pass that each of the brothers wanted to bring an offering to the Lord. And that meant that they would lay something that meant a great deal to them onto the altar. They would create a fire, and through the flame and the smoke rising up to the heaven, it was rendered worthy of God accepting it. And so both brothers did this. Abel brought to God the firstlings, the newborns of his flock, and the fat thereof too, because that burns very, very well. And God accepted his sacrifice. The smoke rose up, and he could see God taking it within. Cain put his fruits, his vegetables, the very best of his crops onto that altar. He too set a fire, but the flame sputtered. The smoke did not rise. It fell back towards the ground. Yahweh, God, would not accept it. And Cain looked at this, and he saw his brother's sacrificing rise up, and he became very angry, and his face fell. And Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Well, why are you looking so sad? Why is thy countenance fallen?" The countenance meant his whole face. "If you do well, Cain, don't you imagine that I will accept your sacrifice? But if you do not do good things, if you do not do well, then sin lies at the door." And sin meant disobeying God in the way his mother and father had done earlier on at the time of their fall. And God said, "You must master yourself, or sin will rule you." Well, Cain listened, and he may have taken in what God said to him, but perhaps he did not. Maybe whatever darkness lived within him, maybe it was something that was just taken over from what his parents had done, was not so easily just brought to an end with the two of them, but now it carried into Cain. Whatever it was, his anger persisted, and he said to his brother Abel, "Let us talk with each other. Let us walk into the field together." And while Abel was not looking, Cain picked up a stone, and he hit his brother over the head with that stone, once or twice or more, until finally his brother lay dead before him. This was the first time that anyone had risen against anyone else on the face of the earth. It was the first time that anyone had caused another's death, and it was one brother rising against another. And then Cain ran away from this, realizing he had done wrong. But he heard the voice of Yahweh, and he said, "Where is Abel? Where is thy brother?" And Cain said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said to him, "What hast thou done? I can hear your brother's blood rising up from the ground." And Cain looked away. He knew his deed had been discovered, because of course Yahweh saw everything. And then Yahweh said to him, "Now you are cursed. The earth itself will curse you, because the earth had to open her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And from now on, when you till the ground, nothing will come from it. And you will not be able to stay in one place. No, Cain, you will be a fugitive, a wanderer, a vagabond. You shall be, and the earth will not accept your work." And Cain now began to weep and moan and lament what he had done. And he said, "Please, dear God, this punishment is more than I can bear. You've driven me out from the face of the earth, and I will be a fugitive and a wanderer. And if anyone sees me, they will know what I have done, and they will want to slay me as well." And so Yahweh's heart was moved, and he said, "No one will slay Cain. I will put a mark on you, and if anyone finds you and kills you, then seven others must die who are related to him. No one may touch you." And so Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he had to wander for a long time into harsh and rocky lands. And finally he came to the land of Nod. And there, out of the goodness of Yahweh, he was allowed to settle, and he was allowed to begin to farm again, though it was much harder than it had been when he lived near the land of Eden. And from that day on, Cain became a farmer in the land of Nod, and he was able to have his own family, children, and grandchildren. And so in that land too now, there were more people. Now I do want to mention that in this story, one of the questions that almost always arises among third graders, you know, on the one hand, they're still in such a dream, especially when you're telling them a story. On the other hand, you see how they're awakening the next day or the day after, however you choose to review it. Somebody is sure to ask you, but if Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were the first people, then why is Cain worried that people will slay him? Where did those other people come from who might slay him? And where did he find his wife? And I leave that up to you, dear colleagues, to answer questions like that. Okay, we're going to go on now to the next important stage of Genesis, the story of Noah.